Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Our lesson tonight will actually come from the context of the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 11. And I've entitled the lesson, Fishing Lessons from the Master. I grew up out in the country in the foothills, if you would, of Indiana, Paoli, Indiana. And in that, I remember as a young boy, my brother and I carrying a fishing pole on a lot of occasions to go down to the creek and to fish. Whenever we visited with my grandma and grandpa McFall, they had a pond, and you could find us out there nearly every evening if it wasn't cold, fishing, if it wasn't raining and such. We loved to be able to fish. Now, Dale reminded me that there's a fine line between fishing and catching. It's called fishing for a reason, because you're not necessarily catching. And the idea is to go fishing so that you can catch. And that doesn't always work. However, God has an idea in regard to fishing that we're not fishing for fish, but rather we're fishing for man. And therefore, in the context of our lesson tonight, I want us to think about, to begin with, Jesus' overall intentions. In other words, what did he come to do? And then secondly, I want us to look at the what's going on in the context. And then finally, I want to look at some tips for you and me as we are serving the Lord. As we consider the context of what is presented before us in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 11, I also want us to understand with regard to Jesus is that Jesus fully realized the purpose for which he came to live upon the face of this earth. He realized is that he did not come to live as a mere man, but rather that he would sent forth from eternity on the behalf of God to represent God while he was here, also to serve as deity while he was here. But yet also there was a 100% humanity about Jesus as well. And what we find, though, in regard to Jesus and his focus and his purpose is that he understood that his will was to do the will of our Heavenly Father. John chapter 4, verse 34, as well as John chapter 6 and verse 28 signifies this very point. During the time in which Jesus was here, he realized that he would die upon Calvary's cross, and a part of heaven's eternal plan meant that God's message had to go forward about salvation in Christ and everything that God wanted to know as it pertained to his will. And a part then of what Jesus came to do was not only to die for the sins of mankind and to reveal our Heavenly Father, he also came to choose 12 apostles. And these individuals would serve as ambassadors for him as well as ambassadors for our God. An ambassador is one who is a representative and also one who is a spokesperson. And therefore, the apostles, after the death of our Lord, was to serve as individuals who were speaking on the behalf of God, as well as individuals who were representing God before mankind. In like figure, though, as we think with regard to Jesus and his life, Jesus lived an exemplary life during the time in which he was here before all of humanity. But my friends, I want us to understand, as it connects with the apostles, these individuals were with Jesus, you might say, 24/7, with the exception of times where that maybe they're sleeping and things of that nature, or they've gone into this area or that area. They spent more time with Jesus than most people were blessed to be able to spend with him. And therefore, the example that Jesus portrayed before them is most important, very critical. And Jesus lived a very exemplary life, a life that is sinless, and a life that I identified that he was focused upon the will of God, and therefore these men in like figure must be focused upon the Lord's commandments. Jesus used life lessons to teach these men lessons. From time to time, they were passing through a field, and Jesus would speak with regard to the harvest. From time to time, they would be passing by a mountain, and Jesus would speak with regard to the mountain and the importance of faith. Jesus used the areas of which he was in, as well as the situations of which he was in, and the surroundings all around, to teach lessons. And that's what's going on here in the context of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 11. So therefore, I want to transition from the intentions of Jesus to think about now what's going on in the context of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 11. When we look to the context, we understand that there was a multitude that pressed about him. They were pressing about Jesus. The word press there in regard to the original language means to lie upon or to be placed upon. that shows us is that the crowd was very large and that these individuals were trying their best to get closer and closer to Jesus, and they were being actually pressed in amongst one another as they are seeking to accomplish this. What is it that they were being drawn to Jesus for? Because they wanted to hear the Word of God. In regard to that matter, the word here in the Greek language is akouo. Literally means they wanted to hear it. It means that they wanted to listen to it. They didn't only want to be able to hear Jesus proclaim some words, but rather they understood the significance of what it was that he was going to teach, that these were the words of God, and therefore they were listening intently, and then they were listening for the sake of learning and applying to their lives. This is what this means in regard to that word in the context. But then also, where was Jesus? The Bible says in the context here is that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And what did Jesus see? What was going on? He saw two fishing boats that were standing by the lake. Where were the fishermen? The scripture identifies is that they were gone and they were washing their nets. What does that mean? I believe that that is God's way of showing us is that they were finished for the day. These men had already completed the work, and having completed the work, now they were getting ready to go home. However, Jesus has other plans. The scripture shows us is that he entered into one of the boats, and that boat belonged to Simon. We know that that is Simon Peter as you consider the broader context of the New Testament scripture. With this matter, the Bible says that he asked him to launch out a little ways from the land. And we understand that he did that. What is it that Jesus was wanting him to do with regard to launching out just a little bit at this point? Jesus was going to use his vessel for proclaiming God's word. The people pressed about him because they wanted to hear the word, and Jesus needed a little distance between him and the people. He needed a podium, if you would, to stand upon so that he would be able to be in the presence of all of them or in the appearance of all of them. And then in like figure that his voice might carry unto the people who were there that very day. In regard to the matter then too, as he had finished teaching the people, Jesus, whenever he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the catch." Amongst those individuals that I've already said had finished for the day, Peter is also one of those. And what is it that Simon Peter says in regard to his response? Peter answered him and said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." He was tired. And no doubt, I believe that not only is he tired, he's questioning, at least in part, what it is that Jesus is asking him to do. But also note what he says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." I believe that that shows great respect by Peter in regard to who it is that has commissioned him to do this, does it not? What did he do? The Bible identifies is that he did exactly what Jesus had commanded him to do. And as a result of him casting out or launching out into the sea and letting down the nets, the Bible says is that they had a great number of fish. Understand the context. They had fished all night and they hadn't had anything. And whether God was working providentially here or whether God was working to perform a miracle, I do not know. But what I do know, and I want to communicate tonight, is that God was working here. God was working to bring forth an abundance of fish. Well, what did the fish do that he caught? It provided for Peter as well as for others, as well as it now serves as an object lesson for you and me to be able to understand a greater principle that God wants us to understand as it is relative not only to Peter, but also unto each and every one of us. How many fish did they catch? The Bible doesn't say exactly how many fish they caught that night or that day. However, what we do understand is that they caught so much so is that they couldn't handle the catch themselves, that they cried out to everyone else, "Come and help us." And the Bible says is that they filled up two boats. What does it mean they filled up? The word filled there, as it is given in the original language, means is that they filled them completely up. They were over the weight limit of the boat. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the boats began to sink into the water. My people, in regard to this, I want us to understand what God's people understood in this context. These people were astonished, the Bible says, at the catch of the fish that were taken that day. They were astonished. Why? Well, in part because they had fished all night and they hadn't caught anything. But also the magnitude of what is going on here. The Lord simply says, go out and fish. And they do exactly what the Lord tells them to do. And then they catch an abundance, more than what they've been able to catch up until this point and time. In regard to this matter also, I believe that it is most important for us to understand is that this signifies a point where that God is calling some of His disciples unto be disciples, for them to serve as apostles. And with this matter, we understand is that the Lord was working to convince these individuals of His power and of His abilities, also to identify is that He came to work on the behalf of our God, and that they also now are going to be employed into working servants of the Lord. As a result of their astonishment, I believe we also understand how complex these individuals were, or how perplexed they were. They were bewildered at what it is that they found. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. I can only imagine that he was shaking in his shoes. He was no doubt excited over the fact of what it is that they've caught, but now the one who told him to launch out and to catch this, he is in his presence. And if this man is able to accomplish that, what else is he able to accomplish, and what else might he know even about me, Peter might be thinking. And know what the Lord says. He says, from now on, you will catch men. Another translation of this would be, you will be fishers of men. It didn't mean that they were going to launch out and, you know this, to catch men out of the water. But rather, it signifies is that they would go out after his death and proclaim the word. And they would be evangelistic continually in their works to glorify God. And God would reward them as God rewarded them with great and abundance catch of fish. God would reward them with an abundance of catching of men into the kingdom of our God. What are some tips that you and I can take away from this as it would relate to our service to God? God's Word today still has power to draw people. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of God and His Word. I believe sometimes maybe we don't feel adequate enough to be able to proclaim His Word, and that's a problem within itself that we need to work on. In like figure, though, I think sometimes we think that people are turned off by the Word of God, and admittedly, that is the case a lot. But at the same time, I'm taken back, especially different areas of which I go to from time to time, and the response of people. Whenever I've gone into New Zealand and into Australia to see the way that people respond to God's Word being proclaimed. And from time to time, I've had people who are locals there say, well, it's because you're an American and they like to hear an American speak. And I get that. Whenever Australians come, we like to hear them speak. Amen? But at the same time, what is on my lips as well as what's on the lips of others draws people because we're proclaiming the Word of God. And we have responses to the invitations whenever we go into these areas. Also, though, I think about within the brotherhood. Each year, whenever I've gone down to the Fried Hardeman Lectures, or whenever I had opportunities to go to PTP, Polishing the Pulpit, or other places, thousands, literally thousands upon top of thousands, 5,000, 6,000 and more gather. Why do they gather? Well, somebody might say, well, it's for the camaraderie, it's for the friendship. It's because we have an acquaintance with one another. And there is that angle of it. Certainly, fellowship has a lot to do with our being able to come together. But at the same time, those classes, those settings that they offer for God's Word to be proclaimed, they're filled up so much so that people are usually just standing around. And those speakers sometimes can be long-winded. I've been on those lectures, and you're expected sometimes to speak for 45 minutes to an hour. Aren't you glad I don't do that here? And in that, for one thing, you kind of get saddle sore if you sit very long, but standing, you can wear out. But at the same time, if you have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, you'll sit there and you'll stand there and you'll listen all the way through. And I'm amazed by what we find throughout the brotherhood, especially whenever we see the power of God's Word. And we've even seen the power of God's Word here over the last 2 or 3 months, have we not? Restorations being brought forth, people being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And it's not because they like me. It's not because they like us. They like us, don't get me wrong. But it's because of the Word of God. I couldn't tell you the number of times that Gary has asked me questions, or that Gary has said that he's been reading and studying, as well as Kathy, the one that we baptized. In fact, I'll go ahead and say this. She attends out there at the Webb House whenever the congregations come, because she works all day on Sunday, and then she's with us on Wednesday nights. She herself has said, I'm so excited to be able to hear and to learn from God's Word. Why do I bring those things out? Because God's Word, still today, is very powerful and is working on the lives and hearts of mankind. My friends, also, I tell you tonight what I trust that all that is within the sound of my voice within this building knows, is that God commands us and God desires, God wants us to be fishers of men. He wants us to understand that a part of our being in the church, a part of us being blessed to be able to be in His family, means that we have responsibilities. And not only do we have responsibilities to assemble together, to worship Him, and not only do we have responsibilities to rear our families according to godliness, not only do we have a responsibility to go out each and every day and to do everything that is in our power to do, to be Christ-like, to not talk like the world talks, to not act like the world acts. A part of this means is that every single day, God wants us to be reaching out to the lost that is in this world, reaching out to our erring brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have left the church, or those who are struggling in their walk with the Lord. Not only with our erring brethren, but even those who are outside of Christ who've never been a member of the Lord's church. We need to see these individuals the way that the Lord saw them, and the way in which God continues to see these souls today, is that they represent a soul that has been created after the very image of God. That these individuals are part of the group that Peter was speaking of in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, that the Lord is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. We need to see these souls in the way in which God sees them, and the way in which they will stand before God in the day of judgment as lost souls that could have maybe had an opportunity, a chance at being saved, if they had heard the gospel proclaimed. And who's responsible for that today? The apostles are no longer with us. The first century church has already died off. The Christians, that is, in the first century. And we are the church today. And therefore, you and I have that role, the responsibility, and even privilege to be able to go out and to try and teach people about Christ each and every day. And therefore, I want to encourage us to engage in conversations with people about Jesus. My friends, also, God promises us that He will be with us, as well as that He will reward our works. I'm grateful for the fact that God has always been with me from the time in which I became a member of the church, and has helped me to be able to grow and to develop and to be able to read and to study. And not only on my own, but even for my family and I to be able in 2001 to move to Knoxville and to go through the School of Preaching and to have those 2 years of concentration in regard to my studies of the Scripture. And now I feel a necessity upon me to go out and to proclaim. And as I share and as others share that word, I hope that you will also feel that urgency and necessity to go out and to understand that we're not doing these things alone. God says that He'll be with us, and He is with us. He said that He would be with the apostles in the first century, with the church in the first century, and He was. He was faithful in all that. And therefore, today, I trust that He's still faithful with us in helping us to be able to muster up the courage, you might say, to tell others about Jesus, giving us the time, if we'll just take it, to study from the Word, that we might understand it. Given us also opportunities every single day, I truly believe this, every single day to say something to someone about Jesus Christ our Lord. He will reward our works. What do I mean by that? One waters, or one plants and one waters, and who gives the increase? God gives the increase. And therefore, He will reward our efforts in our community as long as we're doing what He wants us to do. The church will grow. And we've seen that over the last 2.5 to 3 months More so, I think, than what we've seen over the last 2 to 3 years. When we're doing what God commands us to do in regard to evangelism, He will give great increase, as what He gave a great number of fish unto Simon and the people of that day. But my friends, in eternity, God will reward our works. We will hear Him say, "Enter in, my good and faithful servants, for a deed that is well done." The last point that I want us to consider tonight is that God seeks to borrow our lives for these efforts. Going back to the context of where it says that the Lord asked him, meaning Jesus asked Peter to put out a little from the land, the word "ask" in that context literally means to inquire or to request. Jesus didn't get on his boat and say, "Okay, you don't have any choice in the matter. I realize it's your boat, but you don't have any choice in the matter." He didn't do that. He got on the boat and he showed respect to Peter, and therefore he inquired and he asked him, "Would you mind, if you would, to put out a little ways from the land?" He borrowed, if you would, Peter's boat so that God's word could be proclaimed. And today I tell you that God seeks to borrow our lives so that His word can continue to be proclaimed. The question is that are we willing to let Him have our lives? Are we willing to turn our lives over to Him unto that end? To let Him borrow us, to use us, that His word may be proclaimed and that the kingdom may grow universally and especially as it relates to our congregation here at East End. Fishing lessons from the Master. They may not help you catch fish, but they will help us to catch men, to bring souls to Jesus before it is eternally too late. If you're here tonight and subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we want to encourage you to respond as to